Currently, latest project for Kid Congo Powers is Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds. That's my band that I have with Jack Martin, longtime collaborator, and also Jerome O'Brien, who's been playing with us. And we've actually been going for about 4 years, if you count all the false starts we've had. We've gone through a lot of lineups. The whole thing that started, I mentioned before, that we started just as a kind of like a panic band. Panic because there wasn't a band to play, so I had to make something. But that went through a lot of changes, and we had kind of a long tenure with one band, which was had Paul Wallfisch and Siobhan Duffy in it, and me and Jack and Jerome. And that was kind of the starting of the band. I'm kind of the thought that I'm willing to wait. I learned this from Congo Norvell too, is that you have to kind of wait and see what happens. And I like a band that will have its own sound and its own voice, and it takes time for that to happen. I mean, that's the only kind of bad thing about having a known past, is that people don't give you that leeway to let stuff happen. Like, you have to instantly have the answer right there at your hand. And I think, especially if you want to have a band, that music isn't that cut and dry. You can't just pull it out of a hat. And I know that from people, that people didn't pull it out of a hat. They worked really hard at it and had to give it time to become its own beast. And I chose to be the lead singer of this band and the main songwriter with Jack. And I knew I had to learn. I had been getting a lot more practice with Khan on those tours with him at being a front person, and it was kind of an appealing new thing for me too. And so I was willing to see what happened to the band and where it would go and when it would develop its own kind of sound with the people and let them grow and do stuff. Because after a while, Siobhan decided not to play drums and pursue other things in her life, and Paul got busy with Botanica. We had to get some new people, and the new people we got, Josh Belknap and Barry London, played with us from Knoxville Girls for a while. That changed the sound once again, and it became much more rocky. And then I had to adapt myself to that too, because I was like going kind of one way with the other band, which was a little more singerish, and then it got rockier. So I had to kind of find my way into that, because I'm not really a rock singer. I'm not a shouter. I'm not a hollerer. I'm a talker. We played out really a lot, and it took a while to come up with what it was going to become, and went through a lot of changes. And I did decide, kind of songwriting sort of way, which way things were going to go. It started to take shape in a more kind of almost like 70s glam sort of way. And I started to think, what do I really want? And what do I have to really draw upon? And what I decided to do was go back to what I was listening to before I was a band person, before I was a musician. And what did I really grow up with? And what I really grew up with was like David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane, all those Lou Reed solo albums, some Leonard Cohen, and I really love soul music always. Just draw upon different things. And I was also decided that finally I could draw upon myself. That was like kind of one of the big things that I thought, like, well, I can somehow, I've done so many different, completely different things. There must be a way to harness this all together into one thing, and find some of my favorite elements of the different bands I was in and put it into one band. And that's what Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds are today. In the Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds of today, the band is not made up of people I've worked with in the past, and they're not people who've been in a lot of bands that were popular. And also on our recording, I wanted it to work with totally new everything. I could have asked Mick Harvey to produce it. I could have asked Victor Van Vook to record it. I could have asked any one of a million people to play on it, and they all would have said yes and done it. And that wasn't what I wanted to do. And I wanted to make a whole other sound with a whole other group of people, sometimes playing with people that are, you know, just good players, and good chemistry is always worked before. And it kind of doesn't matter if they were famous or not, or if they're like super prolific or accomplished. A band is creating your own world. And I started to really enjoy creating a world with these people. My main songwriting collaborator in the Pink Monkey Birds is Jack Martin. Jack is a really amazing guitarist, amazing jazz guitarist, amazing rock guitarist, just a really good person who I've seen really grow a lot. He was actually one of the very, very first people I met when I came to New York. He was one of my very first friends. And we got along immediately and like-mindedly, and he was someone that I really shared a lot of interests with, and different interests even than just music, drugs, and for a while. Then we got disinterested in that. But also literature and books, and I always need someone around me that's going to be a good, smart influence on me, and Jack is definitely that. And he's a very dedicated musician, and that's one thing I like about him, that he's a real lifer in being a musician. And he has a lot of different, great different ideas and ways of seeing things that I don't see things in a musical kind of way. I'm very basic, and it's also left me to be able to write a lot more and not have to carry the whole weight of like writing everything and doing stuff. And he's also very helpful with my lyric writing. I could always go to him and bounce ideas off of him, and he has really good, you know, ideas for me and good points of view. He's one of my very, very best friends, and also happens to be a great musician that I really enjoy working with, and somehow we work together really well in a kind of in ways that are both civil and very antagonistic at the same time. But that was very much how my collaboration with Jeffrey was, and with different people, you know, you have to have some friction, but it's very minimal friction, and it's a good one. And we really have a good sense of style together as guitar players. He's very, very, very important in the Pink Monkey Birds because he's a guitar player, and people don't know him. People don't know that about him, but people will know. He is a motherfucker. So finally, a million years later, we decided to record an album. We thought the time has come. Again, like I said, we did it self-financed on our own. That was a conscious effort and really what I wanted it to do. And I wanted it to be a really raw record that represented what we were like live. It's like practically a live album. I didn't want it to be super frilly, but I wanted to make a funny but serious album. Does that make sense? I wanted to make an album that was like a 70s album. Like what I found interesting about music when I first was interested in music, and that would be some rawness, and that would be some smart lyrics, but that made you laugh, and some interesting topics. It's actually a very sleazy record, and that's kind of what we are and what we came out of, a sleazy atmosphere, and that's what our kind of life experience has been. You know, and still I'm looking at the underbelly of what's going on and the subconscious of what's going on. It's a, you know, it was really about New York of a different time. Almost all of the songs are about that, and they're all very narrative, and they all contain characters. And musically, you know, when we brought in electronics into the band, like I said, I wanted to bring everything I had into the band, and I wanted to make kind of a garage rock record that was smarter than a garage rock record, and wanted to make a thinking man's garage rock record. And I don't know if garage rockers really want to think, but they should. The title of the album, Philosophy in Underwear, is actually taken from one of the songs called Even Though Your Leather is Cliché, which is a New York story about a S&M. I was thinking of the Sally Can't Dance album, and especially that song, you know, and it's really a kind of song about who is this person and why they're interested in this kind of debauchery, but they feel really foolish about it as well. And it's also kind of a thing that says, like, okay, you're kinky, and so right on. And it's kind of like, you know, leather can be about rockers who wear leather, their rebel stance, and that's right on for me. And, you know, you see punk rockers in leather, you know, it's all like costume, it's all drag, and but they're all trying to say something. And that's why S&M, sometimes it gets kind of witchy and dark and Dungeons and Dragon-y. And so to me, S&M is, you know, all about philosophy and underwear, if you want to boil it down. And I thought that was a pretty, when I thought of that, I thought that was just so hysterical. And so let's get it with that song. And it's just set in New York, and it's, you know, a little story. A little story of someone who gets into something, but they're having second thoughts about what they got into. There's some songs on there that we've been playing live since our inception. Like I said, I had started compiling all these solo songs, and when I had to do a solo gig, I said, well, these are songs I wrote that I did in other forms. And they actually got reworked to the point where they're unrecognizable from their original versions. So I included them on this record because they had completely changed from their original ways. La Historia de un Amor was the thing I did a million years ago with Robin and on a solo EP. And also that they had Revelance Now. That was a song I wrote in the post-Reagan era when I was really upset about that. And although it's just a story about a drag queen, that that really it was about the times and a dissatisfaction with people looking around and seeing what's going on. And The Last Word was a song that I actually had wrote originally for me to sing on the album and with Congo Norvell, and Sally just sang it so much better that I had to have her sing it. But I had other ideas, and also it fit into the theme of what was going on. White Hurt Flesh I had done with Khan. We actually made a real rock version of that. And then we took the rock version and we manipulated it back into an electronic version. Actually, Khan's version is far more rock than our version. So that was just like perverse experimentation. On the song The Weather, The War, I had my friend Little Annie play on it. And Little Annie, for those of you who are really uninformed, is someone been around as long as I have been. And although critically and cultally loved, pretty unsung in the history books, and real super talent, poet and singer, and really individual style and voice, and really good friend of ours. I've known her since I met her actually on a European tour with Congo Norvell, and she was the support act, and she toured with us, and we became like brother and sister immediately. And she, to me, is one of the greatest treasures and talents of, and really, she is someone who I think, although she lived in Europe for a lot of years, she's someone who is really representative of New York. She is very New York, you know, she's Yonkers girl, and she really is a real street from the street girl, and really talented artist. You know, she did a lot of stuff, you know, she did stuff with from anyone from Crass to Coil to Wolfgang Press, and her own solo records with Adrian Sherwood and On You Sound. So she has a really colorful, really diverse thing, and I feel a real, like, you know, kinship with her. And she was perfectly in tune with what we do. We have like incredible parallel lives. And I had that song The Weather, The War, which was about another breakup of a relationship song. It's such a good subject. The end of love, my favorite subject, and my least favorite experience, but my favorite subject to write about. And I just actually gave her the lyrics in the song and said, do you want to sing something on it? And she came up with a complete answer to the thing and to my set of lyrics, and yeah, made it really incredible duet. It's like a super post 9/11 everything's falling apart song. I was pleased to have her. Actually, I did get Khan on the record with Captain Comatose of Khan and our friend Snacks. In those 70s records, they always had the Thunder Thighs and those background singers, like the Black Lady singers. So I got Khan and Snacks to be my Thunder Thighs. These are people who really like fucking with what's supposed to be right. A lot of people are purist about, especially about music, and very precious about it. And we're just brats that want to mess things up for them. We want to say, no, the electronic disco band can play on the dirty rock record, and the dirty rock guitar player can play on the disco record. No one said anything when Slash played on Michael Jackson's record, did they? Okay, so the solo cello album is a lot of songs I wrote. It's a compilation of stuff I've done through the years that feature me as the singer and main songwriter. And it has tracks from everything from De Hout to Khan to Carvel, and the newly rediscovered treasure of the Fur Bible. And that will be out early in the year sometime. Plans for 2006 are American tour for Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds to promote our Philosophy and Underwear album, and then the release of Solo Cello, and then a tour for that. So I have my work cut out for me. Not that I haven't, judging from this interview for the past 30 years.